Hey, all you cool cats and kittens.
Hello and welcome to Beyond Reproach. I'm Stephanie Domingo.
I'm Tuck Slurzel.
And we be drinking, we be swearing. This is the show where we discuss our feelings on specific topics related to American history, politics, or culture.
Or pandemics.
Yeah, this episode we will be talking about coronavirus and how it has affected our lives, because by now it's definitely touched everyone.
I kind of had a bit of a hard time.
But not in a sexy way.
No, not in a sexy way. We haven't been touched in our bathing suit areas.
No.
Hopefully. Not by the coronavirus. Yeah, at first I didn't want to talk about this because it's everywhere. It's inescapable and kind of depressing. Obviously. Yeah.
But ignoring it is not the move either.
No. And hopefully we'll have a slightly different take on things than what they're talking about on the news.
Yes. Because you guys know that we record in New York, and if you're not from the city and you're just looking at our news, it seems like we're all dead.
Yeah.
We're not.
We're not. We're here. Yeah. We're safe.
Yeah.
We're being safe.
Yes.
We're going to talk about the elephant in the room real quick.
Yes.
Stephanie and I are in person, in the same room together.
In the real.
We're sitting 6 feet apart.
Yes, we're not on Zoom in our bathrobes.
Nope. But we ultimately decided it was safe to record in person for a couple of reasons.
Yes.
We'll get into those shortly. But please do understand that we are taking this seriously.
Very seriously.
We're being
safe. You should too.
Yes. Yeah. We're not being irresponsible. We're not being silly.
But, yeah.
This is real.
And this is very real.
Yeah. This is hard to talk about, or not hard to talk about, but just awkward to talk about. But I've had it. I've had the coronavirus. I know that there is some conflicting information on
world
immunity,
yeah,
whether you can get it again after you've had it. But the scientific community, the general consensus is that you're going to be immune for at least a year. Most people are saying a year to 3 years, and after that 3 years is up, if you do get it again, you'll have a much milder case.
Okay.
So, first and foremost, I want to talk about sort of having it and what that was like for me. We obviously live here in New York City. We're not sure exactly how or where we got it, but it's everywhere here.
Yeah. There's so many people. It's so dense. It could be grocery store. It could be shaking the wrong person's hand. Hugging the wrong person. Yeah. Anything.
Doorknob. We got it pretty early on, too. So I think it might have been from a client at work or something like that. By the time we realized we were sick, everything was closed, including Russell's shops. But the timeline works out that he could have gotten it from a client or from traveling.
Yeah.
We don't know. So it was in the beginning of March, Russell and I had a trip planned to go up to see my family. This trip had been planned for months in advance, and this was really early on in this sort of timeline of events here in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
The media kind of had just started paying attention to the cases within the U.S., but it was still feeling very much like isolated incidents. And
like it was just up in Westchester.
Yeah, yeah. And it was like just a couple people here and there.
Yeah.
The focus in the media was really on hand washing still at that point. We weren't talking about social distancing yet.
Yeah.
You know, you might see a few people on the subway wearing masks, but for the most part, everything was still open. The bars were open. Grocery stores looked normal. And everyone was living their lives. So, you know, we talked about it a little bit. But honestly, Russell and I didn't even really consider the fact that it could be possible that we would get it. So we went upstate. We kept up our plans. We went up. We visited my family. When we left, everything was normal. We were there for about 5 days. A few days into being up there, my sister works for Instacart, and she started telling us about how crazy the grocery stores were getting.
Mm.
It started with the toilet paper hoarding.
Oh my God.
Bottled water and stuff. But then it was
so
like,
weird.
By the time we were ready to leave and come back home, the grocery stores were like empty.
Mm-hmm.
It progressed so quickly. We were trying to stay calm. We were trying not to let, you know, panic set in. We didn't want to hoard groceries.
Of course. Yeah.
But we were still, you know, kind of living our lives. I saw my mom, my sister and her kids. I saw my grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
And then we came back home. The school's closed. The business is closed. Russell had to close his shops. We were home. About 5 days later, I started to feel kind of weird. It started with like dizziness and lightheadedness and just kind of like a weird like confusion sometimes. From there, it progressed into like just feeling really tired and exhausted doing nothing and like sweaty.
Fever. You were getting feverish.
I didn't recognize it as a fever. I just thought I was like worn out and I didn't know why. But it was like the simplest task. I would wash the dishes and I would be like exhausted and sweaty and need to sit down.
Wow.
From there, I did get a little bit of a cough, but like not anything that I thought was a concern. Mm-hmm. But then in a day or two, it progressed really quickly. My cough turned into like a serious cough. My throat started feeling really raw and I was having a hard time breathing. I ended up basically being in bed. I was cold all the time.
Yeah.
Could not put on enough blankets. Really sore and achy, and then it just felt like it kept getting worse. And it did get to a point where, I mean, I couldn't get out of bed and I was worried about my breathing. Once I realized like this is what's happening. One of the symptoms too is like I totally lost my sense of taste and smell. Everything just tasted like cardboard. The only thing I could taste was salt. So I was just eating like ramen and saltines. But the worst part of the whole thing was knowing that I had just been upstate, had just seen my family and my elderly grandparents, 83 and 92, and was like, I'm not only dealing with a disease that could potentially put me in the hospital on a respirator, but now I'm also dealing with this like fear and worry that they might get sick and guilt that I was responsible for that and could potentially have killed my grandparents. It was really heavy.
That's scary.
On top of being sick and on top of being like completely overwhelmed and exhausted. And like, there were days that I just laid in bed and cried. Like I, you know, didn't know what to do. And then not knowing and having to wait and the time that it takes people to get sick. So once I started to feel a little bit better, I was calling my grandparents every couple days just to check in and make sure that they were okay. I didn't tell them that I was sick.
I wouldn't either.
Didn't want them to worry.
Scare them
exactly.
Unnecessarily.
Yeah. Fast forward to now, I'm better.
Yes.
I've been better for weeks. No one got sick. No one in my family got sick. Russell and I have both had it. His was a little bit different than mine, but it seems like everyone's symptoms are slightly different.
Yeah.
But we have both been through it. We've both recovered. And now, according to the New York Times and the CDC, we're like the safest people you can be around right now.
That's at Tux's house.
Yes, exactly.
Tux.
Just one person at a time.
Yes.
One person who is not immune to it at a time.
Yes.
So that's why I feel comfortable having Stephanie here today. We kind of went back and forth texting a lot about...
Yeah. At first, I thought it would be cool to just get it and just be immune, but everyone's symptoms vary so wildly.
Yeah.
And I, like, have a history of asthma and just, like, upper respiratory issues, so...
No. Yeah.
I don't want it to get it for fun anymore.
Yeah,
I'm like, I prefer just to be healthy.
Yeah. It's weird now that I've had it. And know that I, in theory, will be immune for a year to 3 years. I mean, it feels liberating in a way because
I can do what I
don't have to worry now.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there's a lot of like weird sort of like guilt about like, yes, thank God I didn't infect anyone in my family. But who knows if I could have infected somebody at the grocery store before I realized that I was sick or something like
that. It's just so weird that you guys got sick. Like, I ride the subway every day to the Empire State Building.
It's very strange.
It's so random.
I don't know.
That just tells you how contagious this thing is.
Yeah, exactly. Luckily now we're doing the social distancing thing. New York is taking it very seriously.
Yes.
I've talked to several friends that live out of state, and it seems like 2 weeks ago we were doing food hoarding and toilet paper hoarding, and that was what people were focused on, not the actual danger of like why we were doing this. But recently I do feel like it's people are starting to take it more seriously.
Yeah, as the death toll rises,
people
are taking it more seriously. Before we're like, oh, it's China, oh, it's Italy, and now it's us and everyone else.
Yeah, so. But it's really nice to see Stephanie's face. I have to say that you're the first, other than like a random person walking by with their dogs or like a grocery store cashier, you're the first person that I've seen in person in a month.
Yeah, probably more, right?
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad that you're well again.
Thank you.
Me too. And that you're now have this immunity, like, little jealous, but yeah,
it was real scary though. You guys don't, I mean, yeah. Stephanie and I did joke about like, you should just come over.
Yeah.
But there were points where like my breathing got really labored and difficult, and it was fucking scary knowing like I could end up in the hospital on a respirator and potentially die. Like, it's fucking heavy.
Yeah. Young people are dying too, you guys. It's not just the aged. I feel really lucky because I am healthy, I think. Yeah. They do say that up to 25% of people potentially can be asymptomatic.
And be like living their lives and spreading it around.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why it's so important for people to wear masks, even if they're not feeling.
Absolutely.
You know, in the beginning, that's what they were saying. Wash your hands. Don't leave the house if you don't feel well.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have to not feel well.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone needs to be taking all the precautions to keep everyone else safe. I'm definitely lucky because I can work remotely now, which is great. Cuomo, he like basically put the city on lockdown on the 22nd Sunday of March. And that Tuesday, my whole team was fired.
But you, everyone but you.
Everyone but me. Yeah. Like the people, the four people that I managed beneath me were let go for no reason, no like performance related reason other than just the company is struggling right now because it's a retail business and a lot of our retailers are closed and they were just cutting where they could, like very bluntly, unfortunately.
This is in theory a layoff, not a firing.
This is a layoff.
Yeah.
Some people were furloughed.
Okay.
I don't know if you guys...
What's the difference between a furlough
and a
layoff?
So a furlough, it's a temporary leave of absence, basically. Okay. You're not being paid by your employer.
Okay.
But you're still under your old health insurance.
Oh.
Yes. And you can qualify for unemployment.
Okay.
Yeah.
And, but you still have health insurance.
Exactly.
Which is how... That's the difference between a layoff.
Yes.
If you were laid off, you wouldn't have health insurance.
Yes.
Wow. That's cool. That's great. Yeah.
But my team was let go.
Oh.
Yeah.
I see. So just certain people were furloughed.
Certain people were furloughed. We had a lot of furloughs in our sales department, a lot of furloughs in our design department. It's just, it's been very random. At first, it was just layoffs, straight layoffs. Like they got rid of a lot of high-level directors because they don't see us designing anything new or designing at the capacity that we were for fall and holiday because they predict that this will probably go through the summer.
Yeah.
And yeah, I feel super, super guilty. I have like the work equivalent of like survivor's guilt.
Well, that's like me too. I mean, this is a different situation, obviously, but like I feel guilty that I've had it and now I don't have to worry anymore. And, and like knowing that there's so many people out there that are so sick.
Yeah, no, yeah. I feel guilty because I... Like, two of my former colleagues had small children.
Oh.
One had a child with, like, special needs who's now home, and his wife lost her job the week before that. So there's four people on zero income right now, and I'm a single person. I live in a tiny little studio. Like, I live within my means. I would have been fine. Like, I feel like they should have let me go, but they only kept me because I trained them and I can do their jobs.
Okay.
Yeah. So... I feel an enormous amount of guilt. I talk to them almost every day. One of my old coworkers, his dad, who was let go, his dad is now sick with the virus.
Oh, no.
And he went into the hospital earlier this week. So now he's lost his job. He's actually a single parent. It's a crazy situation. And I feel really lucky, but I don't know. I feel sad. Like, I cried all week. It was so destabilizing.
It's
like we had just started working from home. That Sunday, they shut down all non-essential businesses. So Tuesday, they were fired virtually, which just adds insult to injury. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like you tell us to take our laptops home to work and then you fire 15% of your workforce within 48 hours. Like what?
And then there's been more, there's been like additional rounds.
So every Tuesday now, so that was 3 weeks ago. So every Tuesday there are more furloughs now.
Wow.
They're done with the layoffs, but they're furloughing people for 90 days. Okay. So if the business is up and running in 90 days, they still have their job.
Huh.
Every week more people are gone. Someone who was at my level, her last day was Friday. She was furloughed.
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll see what happens next Tuesday.
Hopefully everyone can get unemployment. I know it's still a huge cut in it, you know, in their
but
income.
It's something. But
it's, exactly.
Yeah, it's something. It's better than nothing. So yeah, I feel very lucky despite being so sad. I'm just thinking about going back to that office and having to like pack up all of my colleagues' things and just send it.
Yeah.
Like it's going to be like a graveyard in there. So many people are gone. Wow. And yeah, it's hard, but I still have a job. It's definitely chaos every day, but I'm healthy and I have a job, and that's really all you can be thankful for.
Yeah,
I mean, there's many things to be thankful for, but like those are two big ones. Like,
yeah, I mean,
I can't complain.
Health is obviously a big thing, right? Yes. Especially right now, everybody, you can't take these things for granted anymore.
Those days are gone.
It's hard.
Yeah, it was the hardest work week of my life by far. Because then I had to tell our business partners, like, hey, you know, these people are gone. Like, I'm now stepping in to projects I had no clue were going on. So it's just, it's a lot.
Yeah.
But again, it's shitty, but it could be so much worse.
Yeah.
So much worse.
Well, how do you think you're doing with the social distancing and being kind of isolated at home?
So I have learned just the way that I live my life is called quarantine. So that felt like a burn.
Yeah.
I love being home. I find it very like nourishing, and I have so many projects that I've been doing.
Yeah.
And my apartment's never been this clean. I do miss the sunshine.
Yes.
And I miss the fresh air on my face.
Yeah.
It's a little too chilly to open up the windows. And I do miss seeing my friends.
Yeah. Obviously.
But outside of that, like, I'm okay.
Yeah, I'm lucky enough that I can still work from home. Mm-hmm. There were several people that were laid off
for this,
but are collecting unemployment. And our boss has been really good about checking in on people, making sure that they're able to collect their unemployment and that they're okay. But because of the job that I do, I've remained on. But I've been working from home for years now. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't really feel like that big of a change for me.
Yeah.
Other than, like you said, not being able to see your friends. It's been much harder on Russell. His shops are closed. He's so, you know, he talks to people for a living. He cuts hair, but that, like, a bigger part of that job is like
talking to people.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so social.
Yeah. He's been really struggling with it. But, you know, we're doing okay. And we have a backyard.
Yes.
If any of you follow me personally on Facebook,
you need to not follow. Facebook. Oh. Ew.
What the hell?
Wow.
What am I, 70? if you follow me on Instagram, you may be seeing my stories, my garden and my stories.
Yes. I've been living vicariously through your outdoors.
Yes.
I'm like, I remember the outside. It was nice and bright.
Yeah.
So we're just going to do like a what we're thankful for right now. Three things. There's so many things that I'm thankful for.
That's I kind of want to do sort of more fun things because we've already said health and safety is something that's everyone is thankful for right now, and that you can't take that for granted.
Yes.
So we wanted to do kind of three more sort of fun things that we're happy to have in our lives and be grateful for and that are keeping us going even though we're stuck at home and isolated.
Yes. So I'm thankful for Black Twitter. And for the memes that they're supplying me with, I just like cackle. Oh my God. I feel like this is like a renaissance for memes.
Totally. Yeah, absolutely.
Like a golden age of memery. It's so, so good. Everyone is home. Everyone has time on their hands.
Yeah.
And they're just, you know, they're creating their best work. And I love it. I'm also thankful for just streaming TV. Mm-hmm. I have fast internet on my list because it makes my whole life possible.
Absolutely.
It's how I'm able to work. It's how I'm able to talk to my friends, text, do video conferences, access Black Twitter, all the things I need. And I'm thankful for essential businesses like liquor stores.
Yes.
Even though my liquor store is closed, I found one that will deliver in 48 hours.
So. Oh, there you go.
Yes.
It's unfortunate we don't live in California where the dispensaries are considered essential businesses.
Are they really?
Yes.
Oh, of course. Oh,
okay. I mean, people are there's a lot of anxiety in the world
Absolutely.
Right now. So
yeah.
Luckily, the last time Russell and I were in California, we stocked up on edibles.
Yeah, Jason did as well. But he's home a lot. Yeah, I'm seeing an extrovert who is kind of losing his marbles right now, not seeing people. He started to do like happy hours with his work colleagues.
Oh, good.
Because he works in sales, so he's just talking all day, and he's feeling better now that he's doing that more. So thankful for Black Twitter, internet, and liquor stores.
Awesome. My three things that I'm grateful for: streaming television, Netflix,
yes,
especially Tiger King. For those of you who have not watched Tiger King yet,
wow,
what are you doing?
Seriously.
What are you doing with your life?
Wow.
You've got nothing but time.
Also, is the departure from reality that we all need.
Self-Made.
Oh, yeah.
On Netflix is the story of Madam C.J. Walker. That was really fun and interesting. And for those of you who don't know, seasons 1 through 6 and All-Stars 1 and 2 of Drag Race are on Hulu right now.
Get some.
I'm also thankful for Beyond Reproach.
Yes.
It has been a very welcome distraction being able to work on my upcoming story that you guys are going to hear in 2 weeks.
Yes.
And oh, on that note, we should mention this next episode, episode 10 of season 2, was meant to be our last episode of the season. But we have decided that in this time of need,
yes,
we're going to extend the season for at least an extra 2 episodes.
Probably more.
Yeah. But... well, we'll see how long this stuff lasts. You know, we will be taking a break from the season eventually, but we're going to wait until... we can enjoy our break by going outdoors and seeing people.
Opened again.
Yeah, but we also want to make sure that we're still putting content out for those of you who really enjoy the show and look forward to listening to it when it comes out. We don't want to stop doing that.
Yeah.
But it's also, like I said, it's a welcome distraction for us as well. And then lastly, I want to say I'm thankful for my backyard.
Yeah.
It is a real luxury to have in New York City. It
really is. Your own patch of green.
Yeah. In theory, our neighbors on the first floor should have access to it too, but nobody else comes back there. So we literally have our own private backyard in the city. And it's so fucking nice.
Yeah.
To be able to sit out in the sun, even though we're stuck at home. Basically, we have our own private park.
Yeah, it's really nice.
Oh, you know what? This is 4 things, but I just thought of, I'm also thankful for Cardi B.
Thank you.
She is what everyone needs right now.
Yeah.
Cardi B for president. Coronavirus.
Oh my God. So many great videos came out of that.
Okay. Well, you guys have homeworks.
Homeworks.
We want to hear from you.
Tell us how you're doing.
Yeah. We want to know, how has this virus affected you?
How are you dealing with the social isolation?
Yeah. I think that that's a really, really tough part of it for a lot of people.
Yeah.
So what are you doing to keep yourself busy? How are people reacting where you live? Because I know not everyone is taking it as seriously as New York City is.
Yeah. I want to know if, like, is everyone working from home? I know we do have a few listeners that are essential workers. Like, how has that experience been like? Have there been any layoffs at your job? Like,
yeah.
What's going on?
You can also feel free to tell us the 3 fun things that you're grateful for.
They must be fun.
Yes. Not that health is not important and safety is not important.
Yeah.
It's just nobody's taking that for granted right now. So we want to hear other things, fun things.
Yes. We want to add to our list.
Yeah. But we hope everyone is safe and healthy and happy and dealing.
Yeah. Doing the best they can.
Yeah.
Coping. This is temporary. It's not going to be forever, even though it feels like it.
It does feel like forever, but it will go back to...
the sun will come out tomorrow.
Yes, exactly. Tomorrow.
That's your bottom dollar. Yeah. That tomorrow.
You know.
There'll be. Tim, edit that out.
Nope.
Or fix my key.
There we go. Okay. All right, you guys. That's it.
Yeah.
Over and out. Oh, go back and look at our cocktail recipes on our website.
Yes. BeyondReproachPod.com. Oh, that's a great idea. There's so many good ones.
Yeah. Get drunk.
Guess where drinks are empty.
Mm-hmm.
Bye.
That's it. Bye.
Beyond Reproach is proudly recorded in Bushwick, Brooklyn. New episodes are released the 1st and 3rd Monday of every month. Please note that we are not historians. We are just a couple of drunks who never shut up and love history. Full list of all source information can be found in the show notes on our website. Please take a moment to rate, review, and subscribe. Written reviews are especially important. If you like us, please do one of 2 things. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or send this episode to a friend, family member, or someone you think would be into it. Don't forget to follow us on social media. Make sure you follow us on Instagram because we post our cocktail recipes the Thursday before each full episode. Please drink along with us if you are not driving. We also have a shop at BeyondReproachPod.com. Get your merch, brand yourselves. We are on Patreon if anyone would love to show us some love and throw us some nickels to support the production of our show.